Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show. If it's your first time, we are the show that breaks down the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Meyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, are we all good on the technical difficulties?
I think so. I think so. I'm trying to increase the value for our lovely patrons, and God bless you all. Thank you very much for coming on board and helping us out. I'm able to actually record the shows a little better, actually. So the product we're going to be uploading to YouTube on Friday is going to look a little better, thanks to being able to upgrade Zoom. So that's already one big improvement. But I'm trying for our lurkers, which right now is just Kevin, because our second at the lurker level is co-hosting the show tonight. But to make sure Kevin has got just the best possible viewing experience, I tried mixing Zoom with StreamYard, and it was a whole big thing. So now I'm just streaming straight from Zoom to YouTube. So Kevin can see us, Kevin can hear us. He's going to be commenting throughout the show. I'm very tired. I got my workout in. I got my Gatorade. Mark, it is +3 degrees in Saskatchewan. I'm sure Kevin can attest, which in Yankee terms, I believe that's, you know, around, you know, 35 probably. So incredibly warm for us. We're just delighted. It's shorts weather.
35 in terms of Fahrenheit for us dumb Americans is not warm. That's not warm. That's especially here in the South. No, that's we've entered second winter level with that one, and we'll have none of it. However, it has been warm over here. We've been in the 70s. So spring has finally sprung, it seems, at least for now. This could be the fall spring, which in the southern U.S., we are no strangers to such a thing. But yeah, I'll take what I can get. It's been beautiful. So there's that. Very grateful. I hope you're enjoying your, you know, 30 something degrees over there.
Oh,
if that's what you northerners consider warm, then have at it.
Everything's flooding now, like almost everything's underwater. So
that's not good. That's not good at all.
No, that's the problem when you have 8 feet of snow and then it gets to be +20 one day. We had one day in +20 and then just everything melts and creates havoc. But I'd rather this was such a long winter. I'm just happy it's all done with. You know what else I'm happy about, Mark?
Yes.
Our guest today. Why don't you give him a special introduction?
Special introduction to our Patreon member. That's right. We have a Patreon, if you guys didn't know, and our exclusive Patreon. We have very, very cool tiers. And if you are like our guest lurking about, you can join one of those tiers. And one of those tiers is you can just join us on the show whenever you want. So give a welcome to our guest, Josh. Josh, how you doing, bud? Thank you so much for being a contributor. Are you excited to be on the show?
Thoroughly excited. And, you know, like we were talking about before, if you can't make a friend, you can always buy one. And that's how I got on this show.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Exactly. You know, we like a good bribe as anybody, but no. That just tells me that Josh is a very proud supporter of the show, who likes what we do, doesn't care that we're not rock historians or experts, and just wants to give a little bit of a contribution. And we, sir, appreciate you. Take a drink, everybody. But no, in all seriousness, we do very much appreciate you. Thank you so much for your patronage. So, and welcome to the show. So I hope for your sake, not our sake, for yours, that when it comes time to spin the wheel, it will be kind. So we don't have a great track record with our guests being on the show and spinning the wheel. So hopefully we break the cycle just for you, bud, just for you.
Well, I got a good feeling. Yeah. But also, we have other patrons that we need to shout out here, Mark. So yes, why don't you go ahead and run down the list for the folks.
I will go ahead and run down the list. We got our good friend Rava Flav, strong contributor to our Twitter. So thank you, Rava. Greg Zito, also basically all of these people are very frequent contributors. So Greg Zito, Don Detallo, that's our Detallo. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's our Wabo and Cabo friend. Chaz Charles. And Meet the Geeks, our buddy Sean Geek, Fast Fret. Thank you, guys. And Kevin Brown, of course. Yeah, I don't see how Kevin would leave us high and dry, because he just has too much damn fun on our show. Per Lachner, Lucknicker. I hope I'm pronouncing that. It's German. I'm sorry. It's not my first language. And Scott Monroe. So thank you all for your patronage. Thank you for your support, you guys. It means a lot. It tells Corey and I that we're doing something sort of right, or at least we're doing something enjoyable and entertaining for you guys, and so entertaining that you just want to keep us doing this thing forever. So if that's the case, thank you, and we humbly accept the challenge. So thank you to our patronage. And hey, if you guys listening, if you're not on the Patreon and you do want to contribute, you can check out our Patreon and the podcast will rock. Find a tier that's right for you. Maybe you don't want to be on the show. You just want to contribute a little something just to keep the lights on. You can do that. We've got a tier for it. We've got a tier for practically any, just about anything. We'll find the price will be right. Nothing is outside the limits of your imagination. How about that? Just to give you a little incentive, if you want to contribute some to the show, I might have signed away my soul on that one, Corey. But hey, look, times is hard, and I'm a performer. If nothing else, I'm a performer, so I'm not above a good paying gig.
There you go. And as part of that paying gig, all these lovely patrons, they get their tweets guaranteed read on last week's poll, which was Everybody Wants Some. A pretty popular song, Mark. It was certainly popular on our panel. Unanimous, mm-hmm. What Dreams Are Made Of. Why don't you let the folks how the poll shook out?
Well, as I was telling Corey before we got started, sometimes I should be not shocked at the poll results, and then sometimes I am. At this point, I just stop expecting anything. So I didn't know what to expect for this particular track of Everybody Wants Some, but hilariously, this one was largely in favor with a 90.5% What Dreams Are Made Of, with just a 9.5% What The Dream Is Over. So I would say that's a huge win for this song. We thought this song was a classic Van Halen tune. Evidently, you guys out there thought so too. So, having said that, let's hear from a few people. As you said, join the Patreon, get your tweet read automatically. So, just going down the line here, Kevin Brown, the aforementioned Kevin Brown, says, Women and Children First is a God-level album full of bangers, and this is one of the best. Fun intro, reprise partially in the bridge, great vocals, killer rhythm, everything exactly as it should be. Hashtag What Dreams Are Made Of, without a doubt. Coming in strong, God-level album, Women and Children First. That's a bold statement. Would you agree with that, Corey?
Oh, geez, yeah, I can't disagree. And actually, Tarm Ombruster, a good friend of ours, kind of tweeted a challenge to us, you know, pick your favorite Van Halen albums. And I'm like, do you go with like the 5150s and 1984s, like the ones that everybody goes for? I would put like Women and Children First probably in my top three. What about you?
Top three. Well, if you'd asked me even last year, I might have said, I don't know about top three, maybe top five. But the more we keep listening to tracks from Women and Children First, and the more we really get down to the nitty gritty of it all, I'm inclined to think, yeah, probably.
There's not a clunker on it. And actually, if we check, thanks to Scott Haskin, he did the spreadsheet for us. You know, we've only got two tracks left to go on Women and Children First. One is Romeo Delight, the other is And the Cradle Will Rock. Right now, it's 6-0. What Dreams Are Made Of to This Dreams Are Over. So pretty good chance that album is going to go 100% on that one. Josh, if you had to pick three Van Halen albums, what would be your top three?
Ooh, top three. I would have to say Fair Warning, Van Halen 2, and For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Good call. Yep. Ooh, hard to argue with those, man. Like it's such a Sophie's choice. I really can't pick three.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So to answer your question, Corey, for me, probably, but again, that would require let's go back and think about it. So I'll give that another think. Just following up with Josh right here on Twitter, he said, everybody wants some and a little ain't enough for me. So that goes without saying. I think that's a big upvote for you there, Josh. Yes,
absolutely.
And you know what? I finally found a decently priced copy of A Little Late Enough on vinyl. It should be here tomorrow. So I know what I'm spinning this week, and I'm very, very excited.
Hell yeah, dude.
Well, let's get back to some tweets here. Brad Gold, or Gould, excuse me. This is quintessential Van Halen with the bass boosted to let Mikey shine. Absolutely. Thank you very much for that, Brad. And let's go to Greg Zito, another patron of ours. This is Van Halen firing on all cylinders. The band is tight, and Dave's ad-libs are great. The mistakes make the song better. Dave coming in too soon for I like the way the line runs up the back of the stocking actually adds more swagger. Couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
It does. It's just really funny listening to it with the analytical ears that we have. It makes me laugh like, oh, shit, he fucked up. But it's cool. He made up for it.
Staley Roth, just leave it in. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. Another tweet from Scott Monroe, friend and patron. Mini manifesto inbound. The upshot, what dreams are made of all the way, #. I've always thought of this track as kind of a magnum opus for the David Lee Roth era of Van Halen. You know, a high-minded masterpiece about wanting some. It rips musically on every possible metric. Alex's drumming, especially on the Playful Jungle intro, became an absolute iconic sound of their live shows. Eddie's soaring solo builds with urgency into this monster crescendo that matches the operatic fullness of the tune. David's shrieks and intonations are some of his finest, even if the verse lyrics are the stuff of nonsense fever dreams. No argument. But come on, the chorus is a top-tier Van Halen anthem. And in the pantheon of Van Halen party rock, this is their Bohemian Rhapsody. Ooh. And he goes on to say, I was fortunate to hear it live on the 2012 tour in Greensboro, North Carolina, attending the show with my dad, who got me into Van Halen. Dave gave an amusing intro about hearing a godlike voice speak to him in his hotel room. P.S., you can hear my recording on the Everybody Wants Some intro from that show if you become a Patreon and join our Discord server.
It's on the
Scott. Yeah, right on. So mini manifesto for sure. But honestly, that to me just sounded like a soliloquy of love for this particular track. And you'll hear no argument on this side of the board about that. So thank you, Scott, for your mini manifesto and for the free plug. We appreciate that. That's
right. Very well said. Once again, let's go to Chaz Charles from the Regarding Lulu podcast. He's a patron as well. He says, for fuck's sakes, downvoters are trolls on this one. Never forget seeing this done in a planetarium laser show. That'd be kind of cool. Monkey swinging vines in that line that goes up those stockings. Women and Children First is 6 on my Dave era list, though. It's the last of the good Club Days material, and no cover hurts, in my honest opinion. There's a guy who actually digs the covers. We've heard from a lot of people who hate Diver Down because there's too many covers. Yeah, Chaz is a fan of the covers, and good on you, because I'm kind of a fan of those covers, too.
I'm a fan of the covers. I think they do the covers. Not only do they do them justice, they improve them, I think.
So, better than the Kinks. Yeah. Is Kevin Brown still listening? Better than the Kinks. Just I can't piss him off too bad, though. 2 weeks, he's going to get me my copy, I hope, of Live Right Here, Right Now, and Vital. I still love you, Kev. Kinks are awesome. Love them. Ray Davies is a genius.
Bring it back in. Bring it back in.
Yeah. He is a genius, straight though, too far. So I'm not lying when I say that.
Yeah. Another one here from False Premise. Come on, Mark, give me a break. Anyone who downvotes this song is just trolling the poll. Well, yeah, and yet 9.5% of the people decided that no, everybody wants some's just not quite doing it. So I'm willing to I'm inclined to agree with you and with anyone else who thinks the downvoters are just simply trolling. Probably so. I have yet to come across a tweet that actually sort of gets into the nitty gritty of the why they might have voted down for it. Have you seen any here, Corey?
No,
I don't.
No, don't see any on here except for obviously John Mariano. But I do have late breaking news. Kevin yes. says I've lost my vinyl. So I just want to say, Kevin, Waterloo Sunset, I think, is the best song ever recorded. Does that help?
Anyways, find suddenly find it.
Yeah. I'm going to take a break from kissing Kevin's ass to mention Dissect That Film and their tweet. Another great track from Women and Children First. You can never go wrong throwing this track on whenever you need a pick me up. And that's a great call. Because actually, after I was done at the gym tonight, I was fucking exhausted and just down.
Oh, yeah.
I popped on that song and I felt great all the way back home here. So great call there. From our good friends at Dissect That Film. Maybe one or two more, Mark.
All right, I'll give you one. Here's one from our buddy on the show, Fat Man on Guitar, says, hashtag what dreams are made of. Cradle may have been the lead single, but EWS was the track that jumped out. Everybody Wants Some, of course, was the track that jumped out at the first listen. And in concert, man, when Al laid down that beat, you knew you had seven to eight of unrelenting groove ahead. Yes, 7-8 grueling groove. That's yes, I agree with you. I get what you're saying right there. Thank you, my dude. That is absolutely. I believe it. I never got to see Van Halen live, but I absolutely believe that 100%. And then finally, let's take this one from our buddy Jeff Brewer. Panama's older brother, in quotations, is a classic. I was at the Fresno 1992 RHRN show, and Al actually started Panama off with a major nod to this song. It definitely made me pause. That slow buildup, the then release to Ed's thunderous D chord, was a highlight when I saw them in 2007. Wow, 2007, man. It's crazy. But there you go. Yeah, so everyone pretty on board with the voting of yes on this song. But to those of you that didn't mention why in the comments as to why this song didn't do it for you, please hit us up. Let us know. Tweet at us because I'm just curious. I'm genuinely curious. What about this particular Van Halen track didn't do it for you? Or if you're just trolling. And if you're trolling, tell me that too, so then we can troll you back. But thank you to everyone who contributed something on Twitter, to the polls. Thank you to our Patreon members. Remember, as Corey said, you guaranteed a spot in this particular section of the show where we read out your tweets if you subscribe to the Patreon. So thank you all once again. All right. So if we're good to go on that end, what do you think we should do next, Corey? Should we do our favorite part?
Oh, we got a couple of things, actually. First, if you're on some Van Halen news, head on over to the Van Halen news desk. They posted an interview with Gary Cherone 2 days ago, and he's talking about his best songs with Van Halen. And two songs he says come to mind. One is One I Want. He said it was the closest thing to Down the Strike Zone Van Halen, which we haven't covered that one yet, so I'm looking forward to that one. He thought lyrically it was fun. But the other one he thought was new and original was a song called Once. He says, and I quote, I thought Eddie musically expanded his horizons. It started off as a piano piece, but then it got a little bit more elaborate with the band. Lyrically, I think it was a bit more complex.
Sure, Gary.
Love you, Gary.
Look, we do. Apologies to Gary. And you know what? I fully believe that he believes that. And I fully accept that he... truly feels that way about that song, that he actually believes that Eddie was going outside of his box in a good way. And I truly feel that Gary believes in his heart that he was writing some complex stuff with Once. However, my interpretation of that song told me no such thing. So, but that's just me. And who am I? Right. I mean, I'm just a humble fan who just did not like that song whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I think it is probably at this point the worst thing Van Halen collectively as a band has ever put out. But hey, good on you, Gary, for sticking with it, sticking with your principles and what have you. Corey, what do you make of Gary's statement regarding Once?
I kind of want to go back and listen to it again. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I was just cranky that night, but
I will let you handle that part.
I'll do it after the call, though. I won't subject you and Josh to Once. But you. Go check out Van Halen News Desk for that interview. Eric Sanders posted it, but I believe the interview was done by a different rock journalist. I'm just looking up the name here, Greg Prado. So that's on there, as well as an article on Sammy Hagar and Bob Weir's acoustic for a Cure benefit concert to make its return. Michael Anthony is going to be playing with him on that. So just some little tidbits of Van Halen news. And actually, geez, I got to talk about Kevin Brown again. First of all, he says, I'm back in the game. The Waterloo Sunset comment saved me. So I'm very thankful for that. But he was good bored save. Today. And, you know, he heard the about, I'm going to speak out to false premise here real quick. You may want to skip ahead because he was not a fan of the polka. But Kevin Brown was,
right.
And he thought, I wonder if I could, take David Lee Roth's vocals and put it to the polka and get it to sync up, which he did. That's not easy to do. Kevin's a very talented individual. But then indeed, he synced it with the video. So I just want to play a little bit of Van Polken for you in Kevin Brown's video for Jump. So everybody check it out. By the way, you can see the whole video on Kevin Brown's YouTube page. Something wrong with Alex bashing the hell out of the kit. You hear this little
Dave's custom mic looks like a dildo.
I get up and nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest around.
The dancing fits like so well. Even look at Mikey there.
And I know. Baby, just how you feel. You got to roll with the punches that get to what's real.
Where's the tuba, though? I hear a tuba, but I don't
see me standing here. I got my back against the record machine. I ain't the worst that you've seen. Can't you see what I mean? Might as well jump, jump.
All right. Well done,
that's
Kevin.
That's pretty
Brown.
Well done. That's incredibly well done. Thank you,
that
Kevin,
awesome.
For that.
Thank you, sir.
Gift that keeps on giving. I cannot wait to share the Van Polken video. So please, everyone, go check out his Twitter if you want like the full video, if you weren't able to see it on here. And if you do want to see it on here, join that Patreon. We got a tier for that.
We need just the Kevin Brown tier.
Tier. Yeah. Oh, man.
He's just jotting on the spot. Whatever you talk about on the show, he has it ready for you like the next day.
The Kevin Brown tier. Yeah. Join the Kevin Brown tier. We'll think of something. We'll make it super fun. Maybe we'll throw in a Tom Petty reference in there or something. We'll make that happen. All right. Well, there you go. We got Van Halen News Desk. We got Van Polken out of the way. Is it time? Is it time? Do we do the thing?
I think it might be.
It's time to do the thing, and the thing is go spin the wheel. But first, before we do that, we have to do the thing that we love even more than spinning the wheel, and that is manifest. Take a drink, because we're going to manifest what song we want to listen to tonight. And you know what? I'm going to throw it over to our guest, our honorary guest, our patron, Josh. All right, Josh, you've made it to the show. You're here. You are ready. I assume you've probably had one waiting for us to talk about. So I want to know what that particular song or maybe a particular era of Van Halen you want to hear tonight.
Well, what I want to hear or what I want to contribute to the show, Van Halen 3 is almost closed out, correct?
almost
well, we've got a few. Let's
we've got a few, but yeah. We've at least got, I think, four.
One, two, three. We have three.
Oh, three. Right. Okay.
Yeah. I would hate to see the show close on Van Halen 3, so that's why I want to get it out of the way.
Okay.
Yeah, something off Van Halen 3. It'll make maybe not so good.
That's a bull. I mean, I get the strategy, and I appreciate what you're trying to do there. So I can't be upset about it. I just honestly never want to land on that album ever. But you're right. The only way we can get rid of it is if we do. So I don't know. Maybe if we do spin Van Halen 3, we'll land on the other song that Gary said he's pretty proud of. Which one was it called?
One I want.
Okay. So yeah, if we land on that, maybe we'll see what Gary's talking about. Although his comments on the song Once, I just don't get it, but it's fine. Corey, you said you had a long day, long tiring day. So what Van Halen Sweet Serenade will put you in such a relaxing mood?
Well, I tell you, I want to fuck for sure. So I kind of go back and
don't
forth.
We all?
You know what? I'm in a good mood. I got some good buddies on the call here tonight. Kevin Brown's watching. I'm back in the game. I'm getting my Van Halen vinyl. DLR is showing up tomorrow. I'm at a little top of the world. That's what I'm in the mood for tonight.
Because he's standing on top of the world. He's back in the VH groove. So yeah, here
we should
go.
Mention, right. Scott Monroe on the Discord server, one of our patrons, wants to hear Balance. He wants Aftershock. Like, that'd be a cool one, too.
Aftershock, that's right, he did. So that's another perk, you guys. If join the Patreon, you get on our Discord and you get to manifest whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So do that. So he wants some Aftershock. Okay. Well, honestly though, Corey, I'm with you, and I think a good fuck is exactly what we're in dire need of tonight. So instead of top of the world, I'm going right now. I've manifested that one before, but it's one of my favorite Van Halen tracks, probably my favorite on the Fuck album. I don't know though. It's been a while. So maybe I'll reassess that if we get into it. And, depending on what other songs we get into from that album, we need to do more from that album. So there you go. That two manifestations for the Fuck album. And then, poor Josh he's wanting us to take another bullet just to get it out of the way, like a Band-Aid, rip it right off, one fluid motion. Unfortunately, we have three more songs from that album.
I'm with you. If you want to fuck.
All right, everyone's in the mood to fuck. Josh, why don't you give me a number between one and five?
We'll go with three.
Three, all right. One, two, three. That's how many times we're going to shuffle it. I'm a little unprepared here. I got to bring up Mr. Hagar. He's still warming up the pipes. You know, Sammy's getting older.
Yeah, you know, he's got to lube up the throat with a lot of Cabo Wabo tequila. So yeah, you know, he's chugging away.
Oh, he's giving me the thumbs up. Here we go.
It was good.
Here we go.
Oh, Mark, did you do it? Did you do it? He did it.
I did it. Yes.
Oh, you joined the Manifestation Club, my friend. Congratulations. Right now.
Oh. Everybody.
The next one was The Dream Is Over, which is what I wanted to pick other than the Top of the World. So we're going to fuck everybody.
Right now, everybody fucks. Yes, that's right. Amazing. Oh,
you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself right now.
Oh, I feel great. That was exactly what I needed. So, man, this is going to be fun. I may have I obviously showed my hand a little early on this one, but again, it's been a while since I've listened to Right Now, but I have fond memories of this song. Definitely one of the top tier Van Halen songs for me. I just really, really love it. Any opening statements before we actually get into the songs from you gentlemen? Josh, how about you? Without showing your hand yet, do you have any sort of starting thoughts about Right Now?
You know, this is where the production really stuck out, where Andy John's contribution, you know, every instrument, you know, has its space in the spectrum, and everything is loud and clear and bold, you know, whether it's the vocals, even, you know, the cymbals, everything is just I mean, just contributes and just creates a really nice sonic palette.
Mm. Well said. Well said. Corey, I know you were really hoping for Pleasure Dome secretly, you think you're gonna be okay with right now?
I think so. I don't want to tip my hand too much. I know whenever I think of right now, I think of Crystal Pepsi. You guys are old enough to remember Crystal Pepsi, because Van Halen licensed this song for the Crystal Pepsi campaign. So I remember this song was everywhere when Crystal Pepsi was a thing.
Crystal Pepsi tasted like Pepsi, but looked like a bottle of saliva. And people drank it. They thought it would be a cool idea to take the darkness out of Pepsi and make it clear. I don't know why. Maybe because Sprite was doing so good, but it doesn't taste like Sprite, so nobody wanted it.
There's only so much you can do with cola, I guess. That, you know, they did diet. They did. There was the new Coke that failed horribly, and so Pepsi's like, well, what can we do that would also fail horribly? Let's do Crystal Pepsi. And you mentioned it looked like saliva. It kind of tasted like saliva too, if I remember correctly.
Didn't 7th come out around the same time?
Oh, they might have. I'm not sure.
It's the brown 7 Up.
Oh, man, what a terrible idea. God, that one, they wanted to bury that one so deep. I think people forgot that actually happened.
And that's another Pepsi product. I don't know what they were smoking at Pepsi headquarters in the early 90s, but my God.
I think they were just trying to keep up. I mean, they were just trying, because, you know, the Coca-Cola products were a big old smash at the time. And they're, you know, I get it. Hey, as a company, you gotta find ways to stay fresh and stay relevant. What was not fresh was Crystal Pepsi. So thankfully that one went the way of the dodo bird, just like New Coke. So, but this, but you didn't come here for soda pop talk. You came here for
all these soda pop facts, Mark. Come on.
I mean, maybe we'll make another tier on the Patreon where it's like a full conversation of soda pop. So there you go. But no, we're here to talk right here, right now. It's Van Halen's right now. That's what we're ready for. So I know I'm ready. I know Corey, I think you're ready. Josh, you ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
Everybody's ready. I'm assuming Kevin's ready. So hit it. When I was a kid and I first heard the piano chord and the guitar come in like that, scared the shit out of me. But like, it scared me. And yet I said, okay, I want more now. Like, what else you got? You know, they did it again. And then they did it again. I was like, okay. And then you realize it's just this gradual build. But first time I had ever heard that, I was like, what the shit? So fun fact.
A fun fact, the instrumental for this dates back to 1983, before Eddie Van Halen wrote Jump. And he just kind of held on to it, he said nobody else really wanted to do anything with it. An early version of the melody for this song actually appears in the 1984 movie The Wildlife, which Eddie contributed music to. I thought this tidbit was kind of fun. Eddie stated that before Sammy Hagar was hired to replace David Lee Roth, he considered an album that would feature various guest singers. Wild guess out of the blue, who would you think Eddie Van Halen was thinking, this singer is going to be great for right now? I bet you don't even come close. Josh, I think, knows.
I do. Mentioned
Joe Cocker.
Joe Cocker. Holy shit, that's awesome.
That would have been really fucking cool if Joe Cocker.
That would have been so cool. It would have been weird, but man, I'm here for it. Big Joe Cocker fan.
That would have been fantastic. All right, let's get back to the music. I got to say, as a drummer, listen to those cymbals. Like Josh was mentioning the production, right? And Andy Johns, I think, you know, he makes drummers as good as anybody, right? Like he worked with fucking John Bonham for crying out loud. But
he's got all the mics like on the drums whatsoever. It's like everyone else would be fine, whatever. And Alex, I got you.
Yeah.
It's interesting when the music really starts to kind of cook into that initial riff, when the piano comes in, does the da, 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 da. At first you think, oh, this is not going to be a very guitar centric song, is it? This is just Eddie's going to play on piano, and then the rhythm section is just going to come in when they need to, and like, no, this is just giving you a taste of what's to come for the rest of the song. I don't know, it kind of subverts your expectation just a little bit if you're hearing it for the first time, and letting you reminding you, Eddie reminding you, it's like, hey, I can still do piano work, and if you don't like it, whatever, I'm gonna make a really kick-ass song out of it, and you're gonna enjoy it secretly if you hate it.
And then when your guard is down, the guitar solo kicks in.
Uh-huh.
And you remember, like, who you're
don't
talking
forget
about.
Who I am. Yeah.
Josh, anything you want to say about the song thus far?
Oh, everything at play here is just, you know, you can hear everything, and this is a different song for Van Halen. It's a bit of a left turn, but it works on every level.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the drums, the instrumentation so far is spot on.
Yep, and Kevin Brown backs it up. The cymbals and especially the hi-hat work on this track is killer and just crystal clear. Like listening to this through headphones is a real pleasure, because you really get that full Andy Johns production on it. It's great.
I never really thought about how much the drums actually do stand out till you brought it up. And then, yes, we're wearing headphones, and I guess I've never listened to this song with good, like really good headphones, like the ones I'm wearing currently. So where these things let you hear everything. But again, as Josh pointed out, full testament to production quality. Like you can just hear everything very pristinely. It's a nice touch.
Okay, out of all of us, Mark, I'd say I'm probably more harsh on Sammy Hagar for his lyrics than you are.
Sure.
These are some of the best lyrics he's ever written, I think, in this
absolutely.
Song.
Absolutely.
And he actually says the same thing. I found a quote here. He says, the lyrics to Right Now were the best he ever wrote for a Van Halen song. He says, quote, "I was tired of writing cheap sex songs. Eddie and I wanted to get serious and talk about world issues." And that's what he does here. And he knocked it out of the park, I think.
He really did. I mean, we talk a lot about his blunders as a lyricist, and you know, I try to equally match that up with Dave's nonsense. But as we've pointed out from the spreadsheet, like, turns out I downplay or I downvote a lot of Sammy's stuff. I'm going to assume based on his lyrical content, because,
well, to be fair, not a lot. Four songs. You've downvoted three David Lee Roth songs and four Sammy songs, so it's not a huge discrepancy here.
Four just sounds like a lot, because everyone knows I'm so pro Sammy. So it's like, you've already downloaded four songs. No, how can that be? Look, they can't all be winners. And a lot of his, I have conceded to you, a lot of Sammy's lyrics are just ridiculous shit, and sounds like even he knew that. But this one, however, no, this one is clear and precise, just like the production quality. You say him and Eddie wanted to talk about world issues and not bullshit. I'm like, okay, this is a good step in that direction, because he actually sounds like he has something to say. And it is. This is a very insightful, or even already, we haven't even made it fully into the chorus yet, and already I'm motivated.
And if I'm sure Josh remembers the video, you had, like, you know, right now people are having unprotected sex, you know, big block letters on the screen and all sorts of different right nows. And then right now people are drinking Crystal Pepsi for some fucking reason.
The thing with Sammy on this one, he's, his vocal delivery is a little different because usually he comes in really, really strong. And this time he's a little bluesier and a little, it sounded like more of a, you know, like a throwback to Procol Harum and things of that nature, and maybe went to his roots a little bit. And I appreciate that because sometimes he can come in really strong and a bit over the top. And this one, he's really letting the weight of the song carry him. And it's, and it really, it, you know, lets you keen in on the lyrics that he's writing. And oh, so far it's amazing. Perfect.
Absolutely. Agreed. Could not agree more.
Yeah. Yep. You think maybe he was poking jabs at Alex on that one?
No, Alex never misses a beat or loses a rhythm. Come on. Come on.
I know. That was a rhetorical question. Like, no, come on. No. I just thought it was funny because it is this verse is I think I understand the metaphor of what Sammy's going for on that one, but it is a little bit of a shift from what he said in the first verse. You know what I mean? It's like, no, it's like, don't put off your problem. Don't procrastinate, but you know, got to move forward, always forward. And then this one's like, oh, you miss beats, you lose rhythm. Nothing falls into place. Oh, just by a fraction. Oh, your pace, you were walking and you lost your footing. It's like, okay. Could you do a little bit better than that though? I'm like, no, that works. Okay.
I don't know. I'm still with him. I wanted to ask you about the chorus though, because back in 92, when I had this album, listening to it ad nauseum, this wasn't one of my favorite tracks at the time. And I think I kind of got the chorus kind of lost me a little bit. I don't know if it was the, you know, just kind of the haunting melody on Right Now or just kind of the repetition of it. I won't say how I'm feeling today about it, but we had a little shift in the chorus. Let's start with Josh. What do you think about the chorus of this song?
I like the chorus because, you know, the song has such a big buildup and, you know, it goes to a simpler chorus that everyone can kind of lean into because the music leading up to it is very dense. And so now it's like almost, you know, having a simple, you know, two word chorus is like a palate cleanser. Mm-hmm.
Good call, Mark.
I'm inclined to agree. The chorus is simply Right Now. What Sammy is doing, the, you know, it's your tomorrow. It's everything like that's just the extra seasoning, you know, a little extra flavor, like to emphasize Right Now. But that's nothing outside of what Van Halen typically does in their choruses usually. And we talk about it. This very simplistic choruses. Usually all they do is just sing the title of the song and that's it. You know, if it's a David Lee Roth song, chances are you're going to hear the title sung and then you're going to hear some like wah! Or something of that nature, yeah. Or, you know, some little vocal ornamentation, things like that. And, you know, Sammy does that shit too. You know, but he likes to kind of maybe sound like he's ad-libbing a little more. Maybe it is that blues influence, as you say, Josh, could be, or it's just, you know, it is what it is. But I understand why you might have thought the chorus feels lacking, because the whole song, it just feels like a build. And then we get to the chorus and it's just like, okay, we're here. But you know, it's not like this grand epic chorus or anything like that. Or I guess depending on your interpretation, maybe it is in the subtlety of it all, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. And yeah, it's not the chorus to Dreams, right? Where you build to that huge crescendo, yeah. Right? But as I'm discovering tonight, there's nothing wrong with that. And I just really dig the line and the sentiment, catch a magic moment, do it right here and now. That really kind of struck home. So the song's hitting a little harder for me here tonight than it has in the past. So I'm really enjoying it.
Now,
shout out to Mikey doing that. I've never really noticed what he's doing base wise, but you know, he's up there. He is noodling away in the best possible way that Mikey can. I would say his base isn't pushed to the back at all. I think everything's pretty well mixed. It would be nice to get him a little bit, just a little bit louder. But if you can hear it, if you listen for it, Mikey's doing some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, gotcha. The whole band is in. Kevin Brown points out.
Oh yeah,
the big flams. Al's playing on the floor toms, just big booming floor toms.
Oh yeah,
yeah, love that stuff.
And this is a band that could easily overplay and step on. I think the interplay is so well done on this. You know, this is definitely one of the heights that they hit. You know, this collection of this incarnation of Van Halen, I should say, for sure.
Yep. The height of the Van Hagar era, maybe 1992. Like they're playing better than ever, and this album is,
I would say, so.
Top notch, yeah. Right? Like,
oh yeah.
Before the solo, Mark, you got something?
That's such a weird rhythm to lead into. Like it's a crescendo. It builds, but then it almost feels like it slows down because Alex and Mike and actually all of the instrumentalists kind of go off the beat a little bit, and then until it comes to a head with sort of that marching. But I always thought that was a really strange choice when I was a kid. Now looking at it, it's like, oh, okay, it's a bold move because it's Alex doing what he does best, and what he does best is go completely not unhinged from the beat. But he likes to, he likes to play around. He likes to go off kilter. He likes to subvert your expectations of what you think he's going to do next.
No, absolutely. I just love how, it kind of separates and it's brought back together. It's like a good story, right? Mm-hmm. It's, that middle of act two, everybody splits up and then they're coming back together for the big rising action for the going towards the climax. And that's coming into a killer Eddie Van Halen solo.
Yeah. It's the stumble before you get back on track.
That's right.
Right now. You know what I mean? So,
that's Josh, just good storytelling.
Exactly. Any thoughts on that?
Well, years ago, there were some bootlegs of them covering Walk Away by James Gang, and they do the same thing before the solo. The everything slows down a little bit and gets off kilter, and then it just kind of goes for the throat punch for the solo, which is I think is fantastic, just brilliant.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that solo, let's hear
it. Here we go. Oh man, if you're not semi-erect when you hear that, like you're dead inside.
God, he channels all of every blues guitarist that is past, every would-be rock and roll guitarist that hasn't been or never was. He's just like, I don't know, it's such an ethereal sounding solo, and he doesn't even have a ton of reverb on it. So there's not a lot of echo, but he's just, I don't know. He's speaking to us, from another plane of existence. At least that's what it feels like when I hear it. Maybe I should just, do less pot. I don't know.
Well, and the rest of the band killing it too. Like Al's got those big fucking drums, right? And then, and Mikey's not doing much on the bass, but he's really punching it forward. Just boom, boom. Like he's really just booming it in there and just driving, laying the track, ready to drive that train on it. It's working absolutely perfect. I love what Al does underneath Eddie solos. And here's a great example of it.
Yeah, and this is another new, at the time it was new, it was with Eddie, focusing on the neck pickup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and playing, he'll do some of those tendencies like where when like most guitar players, but particularly blues guitar players, will end their phrases on a high note. He'll end his on a lower note, like he did mm-hmm. in Doctor, you know, or things like that, you know, before he goes into another chord change. And this is, you know, something, you know, when, you know, before this album came out, it was going around the, you know, the guitar community, is that he was not with Kramer anymore. And they of this Music Man guitar with two pickups on it. We had no idea what was waiting for us. And then when this came out, it was, you know, came out such a tasteful solo on top of, you know,
yeah,
that he has, you know, the ability to demonstrate. So, yeah, very cool. Yep. Very perfect.
You guys remember in the video at the end, Sammy kind of refused to sing and kind of walked off and slammed a door. Apparently that was real. He was so frustrated doing this damn video. Apparently he had like pneumonia and he was really, really sick.
Oh.
And he was just so mad at that point in the video that he just walked off and slammed the door. And that's how they ended the video.
I don't remember that part in the video, but now I have to go back after the show and check that out. I'm like, oh. Like, see if I can see the sickness in his face. I get it.
If I remember correctly, Alex was laughing. I don't know if it was at Sam or somebody, but he was laughing as he was before that door slammed.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if he was making fun of Sammy's little struggles there.
Maybe he thought Sammy was kidding. Or just like making a big deal out of nothing, and it was funny to him. Or maybe he was just laughing just because he thought the situation was so stupid, and it was like, well, instead of screaming, I'm just gonna laugh about it because that was childish. But it was like, well, okay, if the dude's sick and he's frustrated, so yeah, of course he's gonna leave. You know what do you do?
Apparently, Sammy didn't really like the video concept at the time. He thought nobody would be listening to the lyrics if they're reading all this stuff on screen, to the point where one of the things they actually put on screen was, right now, maybe we should pay attention to the lyrics. That was, I think, to make Sammy happy. But yeah, he was pretty mad about that. Then he got pneumonia. So he's sick as a dog shooting the video. And then he had just kind of had enough.
Well, being in a band and having to focus everything around the singer, anytime that we have a chance to, you know, roast him a bit, you know, we'll take that opportunity. Pneumonia.
Yeah.
And you know, that video was just good enough to win 3 MTV Video Music Awards in 92, including Video of the Year. So,
well, there you go. It was a genius move to leave that part in. Just rides off into the sunset.
And then Al comes in.
And then Al, yeah. He's like, song. Like, nope. Yeah.
The great fake ending. I was just kind of waiting for it. Yeah, it's right halfway through the outro. All of a sudden, Al just comes in.
Oh, man. Not to be outdone, or just like, hey, don't forget, I'm still here. It's like, I'm not going to let Eddie hog the glory and just like fade away. I don't know. I don't know what the decision behind that was. Maybe it was a mistake and they just thought, nah, leave it in. It's fine.
Al was bored. It was like 40 seconds of outro. He's like, fuck, I want to keep playing.
He probably thought, we've already stopped recording, or like we faded out enough. They're not going to hear this. So I'm just going to play. And little did he know, like, yeah. Whoops, that made the
Templeman
album.
And Johns were like, well, that's pretty cool. Let's leave that in.
Well, there was,
but it's cool. Yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
There was a interview with Alex in I think it was in a Modern Drummer magazine or something like that. And there was a night, like, I think back in 1980, where he was just on fire and all his fills were jumping all over Eddie's, and Ed threw his guitar and said, "We'll just finish whenever you're ready." You know, and so it was maybe one of those moments.
Probably something like that. That's funny though. Sibling rivalry, but yeah, all right, there it is right now from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Yeah, lots to be said about this. I mean, we've said a lot already, but man, there's so much to be said. And with that, we will do what we came to the show to do, and we give you the vote on whether we think this track is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over. Josh, since you are our honorary Patreon and our honored guest this evening, I'm going to ask you, you just tell me, do you think right now is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
What dreams are made of.
All right. Mark Kammerer.
Enough said.
You,
right on.
You manifested this. You finally called your shot. Your Babe Ruth at the plate. You pointed at left field and said, "That's where I'm knocking her." And you hit it out of the park. Is this what dreams are made of, or is inexplicably the dream over on one of Van Halen's more popular songs?
The answer might shock you. Look, we talk a lot about particular Van Halen tracks and them being iconic and classic. Right Now is 100% one of their most iconic, and I'll prove that by saying, if you've ever been to a sporting event, a live sporting event, basketball, football, whatever, chances are you have heard this song. If you had no idea, especially for the younger audiences, if you had no idea who Van Halen was, but you've been to a, you know, a live event of some sort, likely sports, you have probably heard this particular song. I don't know why. I hear it in hockey games. I've heard it in basketball games, football. I just, the DJs who love playing this song on the sound system. And that's because probably the message of, we got to do it right here, right now. Like, it's like, stand up and don't procrastinate. What are you waiting for? It's time. Let's get this win. So it's perfect for sporting events, but also it has a message. It's a very deeply involved Van Halen song. You don't get a ton of those in the Sammy Hagar era. And as we've pointed out, sometimes Sammy misses the mark a lot on his lyrics, even if the song itself sounds great. Some of his lyrics, not so much. This is not the case. I think this is profoundly one of Van Halen's absolute best, and I'm talking about the entire catalog. It's definitely a song that has stayed with me since the first time I heard it. It's resonated with me. Whenever I talk about wanting to play something on a piano, I immediately think about learning Right Now, and then I remember very quickly why I don't belong behind that instrument. So that being said, it has everything you want in a great Van Halen song. Everyone is on point. The production quality is superb. And what else could I possibly say? I wanted it right here, right now. I got it. Glad I called my shot. This is absolutely what dreams are made of. And with that, finally, Corey Morissette, been a long day. You're tired. You wanted a good fuck album song. You didn't get the one you wanted, but we got one regardless. So the question remains for you, sir. Was Right Now what dreams are made of? Or was your dream crushed?
Yeah, it was good. No.
Well said. You get. Oh, go ahead.
back in 92, this wasn't my favorite track. And as we started this journey, we're talking about the different albums and getting into fuck. And I'm like, I tell you, you know, I'm positive on Right Now, but it's not my favorite. But listen, I had a new appreciation for it listening to it tonight. And I like it a whole lot better than I did way back in 1992. This is a great song. I still would have voted What Dreams Are Made Of. You can't downvote right now. There's just no way. But lyrically, Sammy's on point. Like Josh called out the vocals. I love that he kind of, you know, play a little close to the vest in the verses, and then he soars a little in the chorus. Band is on fire. Production is top notch. This is one of my favorite albums of all time, even if it does have a couple of stinkers. But for Kevin Brown watching, and for all the patrons who are going to get to watch the video here, I found a little SNL parody of Crystal Pepsi. I thought we'd play real quick. This is Crystal Gravy.
Earth wasn't created in 7 days. There are some things man will never improve on. Don't take what you're given. Why can't we be cleaner? We're hungry for something different.
Crystal gravy.
You've never seen a gravy like this.
Forgot about crystal gravy. Oh, that was great. And just the parody of right now, that was top notch as well. Holy shit.
All right, we got one more piece. I know.
Yeah.
I don't even know who did that, but sorry. Yeah, we have one more piece of business that we have to do.
Oh.
And that's how many times has Van Halen played?
Yes.
And actually... All right, at that time of the show where we play, how many times has Van Halen played right now? Remember, this is Price is Right rules. You have to come closest to the actual number without going over. Mark Kammeyer, you called your shot here tonight. How many times do you think Van Halen performed right now in concert?
550 times.
550 times. Josh Caldwell, how many times do you think Van Halen played this song live?
How about 100?
So you cut out there a little bit. 100 and what?
25.
125. All right, 125. Well, the actual retail price, 348 times. Josh Caldwell wins tonight. Congratulations, Josh. You get nothing but our undying respect.
I get nothing instantly, correct?
Yes.
Instantly,
you don't have
yes.
to wait. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You get some crystal gravy.
Only 300 something times. Yeah. 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 Crystal gravy. You'll never see it coming. Yeah. Wow. Only that's, I don't know. Well, that kind of surprises me. Yeah.
They never played it with Dave Lee Roth, right? So, you know, the first time they played it was in Vancouver, 1991.
Right.
And the final time was 2004 as part of the big reunion.
Completely forgot that Roth never did.
Yeah,
Sammy stuff, because he couldn't do Sammy stuff.
348 times in like 13 years, is pretty good.
That is pretty good. So, okay. All right. Fair enough. Way to overshoot it once again there, Mark. But hey, that's the name of the game. So congratulations to Josh on winning that one. So there you have it. Wow. This is the kind of show that we always hope to get. We always hope to get just a banger track from Van Halen so that we can just fully, fully appreciate everything about it. I'm still riding very high because it's been a little while since I actively listened to Right Now. Full disclosure, if you guys don't recall or if you just didn't know at all, I've put listening to Van Halen recreationally on hold while we do this show. Like I'm just not listening to any of them unless we've covered the song already. And I'm doing that just because I want to go into it with as fresh a perspective as possible. I've jammed my fair share of Van Halen tunes in my day, so I know them pretty well. But and like this one, I know very, very well. But it's been a little while, so I was kind of wondering how my interpretation was going to be for this one. But man, this is the kind of show that we always hope to get. And I hope you guys feel the same way. because it's exciting talking about great Van Halen tunes. And, you know, they have lots of good ones and they've got quite a few great ones. But man, when we land on one of those great ones, it's just something special. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Good call. And speaking of throwing that out there, when I throw out some plugs, we are proud members of the Deep Dive Podcast Network. First of all, Kevin Brown, quite mad. He guessed 400, so he was just over. But he loses because he went over. He said stupid American game show rules. Well, yeah, sorry, we don't make the rules. And then he said, who'd let Chris Kattan sing? If that was Chris Kattan, I'd be awfully impressed, actually. But
I don't know.
it could be. Let's go through the Deep Dive Podcast Network real quick. Myself, John Mariano, and Scott Haskin do a show called Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. As well, John and I do a show called Backtracks Theme Music, talking everything movies and music. Scott, of course, does the Uriah Heep, the Magicians podcast. Nate and John at the Deep Purple podcast. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side. Rye at Sabbath Bloody podcast. Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods. Matt and Andy at Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast. George, of course, was on the show not that long ago. Had a great time. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast. Greg and Jonathan again at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking all things Megadeth. Our good friend Kevin Brown lurking in the background tonight has two shows on the Deep Dive Podcast Network, the Tom Petty Project, and with his good buddy Randy Wood, breaking down Queen at Seaside Pod Review. Then we have Quinn at And Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu. And please go check out some of our other friends like the You're All Doomed, the Friday the 13th podcast, Dissect That Film, of course, Eric Sanich, Booked on Rock, and the Bogus Otis Boys and the LR Cast guys as well. And of course, I almost forgot about Sean Geek and Fast Fret. Sean Geek, Sean McGinnity, one of our patrons. Thank you very much for your support, Sean, and everybody check out their show.
Absolutely do that. You might even hear a few familiar voices on their show. So go ahead and check those guys out. And speaking of plugs, let's go ahead and thank once again our Patreon members. I'll, you know, because I'm so nice, I'm feeling generous, I'll say their names again. Thank you to Scott Monroe, Perluknicker, Lineker. Please tell me how to pronounce that if we're mispronouncing it. R. Kevin Brown, who's waiting in the wings back there. Meet the Geeks, Chaz Charles, Don Totalo, Greg Zito, Rava Flav, and of course, our honored guests of the show tonight, Josh Codwell. Thank you so much, Josh. Do you have anything you want to plug? Let the people know where you're at, just to shout you out.
You can find me at Upper Mids on Twitter, where I have dozens of followers, and on Instagram, JCM Les Paul. Yeah, again, you can add my several hundred followers outside of my family.
Right on, dude. So thank you once again for your patronage, and thank you for being on the show. We appreciate your support. We appreciate all of your support. And if you guys are not on the Patreon, once again, take a look at it. And the podcast will rock on Patreon, just to see if maybe we've got a tier that is right for you. And if you just want to listen and just keep on listening, you're free to do that too. But a little support goes a very, very long way. It'll keep the lights on here, and it'll keep Corey and myself to keep going. Corey has no choice but to keep going because he's in 5,000 different podcasts. So, you know, he's doomed to repeat this forever. But if you like the dynamic between Corey and myself and want to keep us specifically going, any little bit helps. So there you go. Thank you so much. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, find the show and all the information at podcastwillrock.com. And hey, if you're in the Nashville area, April 22nd, the Exit Inn, the legendary venue Exit Inn, they've reopened. They've asked a cavalcade group of us, of usual suspects that put on these tribute shows, to come back and ring in the new year, even though it's in April. So we are putting on a show called Pop Rocks. And what that is a whole show dedicated to a few songs in pop music. However, it is done in the style of metal, punk, and other varying levels of heaviness. So if you have a favorite Britney Spears song, chances are we're going to metalfy it and probably ruin it for you, but it'll be fun to do. And it'll be a fun show to do because we're also doing it for charity. So it's going to a good cause, but pop rocks, pop meets punk. We are turning pop music into punk. We're turning it into metal. It's going to be heavy. It's going to be fun. If you anyone who knows me knows I detest Taylor Swift, but if you want to hear me sing a Taylor Swift song, you better get your ass to the Exit Inn, Nashville, Tennessee, April 22nd, because even I am baffled that I got roped into doing that one. But it's going to be fun. It's the very the variation of the song we're doing is quite different and quite more my style, let's put it that way. And it's not just me, it's a whole cavalcade of musicians in the Nashville area. So please come out and show your support if you're in the Nashville area, April 22nd. I'll talk more about it the closer we get to the showtime, but there you are. That'll do it. On behalf of our guest Josh, on behalf of Corey and myself, we are And the Podcast Will Rock, and we will rock you later.